Hey, welcome back to Sese Says So. It's me, Rahma Sese, also known as Miss Sese, and this is a biology revision podcast aimed to help you with your A-level biology revision. So before we get into the show, let me get the socials out of the way. Please subscribe to my podcast, which can be found on most streaming platforms, and follow me on Instagram at Sese Says So, and worksheets for each of the episodes can be found on my Tez shop, Tez/Sese Says So. So, in this episode, we will be looking at the topic proteins, and by the end of this episode, you should be able to describe the structure of an amino acid and the formation of a peptide bond, describe the levels of the protein structure, and then give examples of how the structure of a protein is linked to its function. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Amino acids are the monomers of proteins. All amino acids are composed of the following elements: carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. Around 100 amino acids have been identified. However, there is a bank of 20 amino acids that naturally occur in proteins. All amino acids have the following structure. If you have the worksheet, please refer to figure 1. So let's start with the central carbon. This is in the middle of an amino acid and forms bonds with four different chemical groups. One being a hydrogen atom, the second an amino group, NH2, which is the basic part of the structure. The third group is a carboxyl group, COOH, which is the acidic part of the structure. And the fourth group is the R variant group, which differs amongst the 20 amino acids. If you remember in episode 1, we were introduced to condensation reactions. This is a chemical process that occurs to form a bond between monomers due to the elimination of water. Amino acids can join together via a condensation reaction, and they form a dipeptide. The eliminated water molecule is produced by combining the OH from the carboxyl group of one amino acid and the H from the amino group of another amino acid. Refer to figure 2 in your worksheet. The name of the bond that joins the amino acids together is called a peptide bond. Remember, the peptide bonds can be broken through hydrolysis reaction. Okay, so it's time for our first pit stop. For this pit stop, you have to fill in the blanks. Number 1, blank are the monomers of proteins. Number 2, the blank group is different amongst the 20 amino acids. And finally, number 3, a dipeptide is held together by a blank bond. Okay, pause the podcast. Give yourself a chance to think of the answers and we'll be back with the correct answers in. Okay, so you had to fill in the blanks and here are the correct answers. So number 1, blank are the monomers of proteins. The blank for that is amino acids. Number 2, the blank group is different amongst the 20 amino acids. Correct answer, the R variant group. And then number 3, a dipeptide is held together by a blank bond. The correct answer for this, a peptide bond. So if you got the answers to those questions correct, great job. And now we're going to move on into the second segment. If you remember the process of protein synthesis, then you will know that the polypeptide chain is determined by a section of DNA known as a gene. The polypeptide chain for most proteins is the initial structure. That's why the structure of proteins can be described in 4 levels, figure 3 of your worksheet. The primary structure is the sequence of amino acids in the polypeptide chain. A polypeptide chain is formed as a result of a number of condensation reactions occurring between amino acids. The primary structure is important because the order of the amino acids is what determines the final protein shape and therefore its function. The secondary structure can be displayed in 2 main configurations, an alpha helix or a beta pleated sheet. Both are formed as a result of hydrogen bonds forming between the hydrogen of the positive NH group and the oxygen of the negative C double bond O group of amino acids in the polypeptide polypeptide chain. The presence of the hydrogen bonds causes the chain to either coil into an alpha helix or fold into a beta pleated sheet. The tertiary structure is when we get the formation of the protein's 3D structure. The secondary structure continues to fold and coil to form a 3D complex. This structure is held together by the addition of different bonds. For example, there are more hydrogen bonds. We have new ionic bonds which form between free carboxyl and amino groups. Ionic bonds are weak and can be affected by changes in the environment, such as pH. There's fairly strong disulfide bridges, which usually form when the amino acid cysteine comes into contact with another cysteine amino acid. The quaternary structure is when a number of polypeptide chains combine together through a series of bonds. Some quaternary structures may also include a non-protein prosthetic group. Okay, well, it's time for our second pit stop. Okay, so for this pit stop, you have to identify which level of protein structure is being described in each statement. Number one, a sequence of amino acids in a polypeptide chain. Number two, the formation of the 3D protein structure. And finally, number three, can be displayed as an alpha helix or a beta pleated sheet. Pause the podcast, give yourself a chance to think of those answers, and we'll be back with the correct answers in. So you had to identify which level of the protein structure was being described in each of the statements. Number one, a sequence of amino acids in a polypeptide chain. This describes the primary structure of a protein. Number two, the formation of the 3D protein structure. This describes the tertiary structure of a protein. And finally, number three, can be displayed as an alpha helix or a beta pleated sheet. This describes the secondary structure of a protein. If you got those answers correct, superb job. And now we're going to move on into the third and final segment. Proteins have a variety of roles in living organisms, such as antibodies, transport proteins, and enzymes, to name but a few. The structure of a protein determines its function. For example, fibrous proteins have structural functions, and globular proteins are involved in metabolic reactions. An example of a fibrous protein is collagen. Collagen is found in the tendons, and tendons join muscles to the bone. Its primary structure is an unbranched polypeptide chain. Its secondary structure involves the polypeptide chain being tightly wound. The tertiary structure involves the chain being twisted into a secondary helix. And the quaternary structure involves three tertiary structure chains all wound together and held by bonds. As you can imagine, this structure helps to provide strength to the collagen, which is important in its role. An example of a globular protein is hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is made up of four polypeptide chains, and each chain is associated with an iron-containing heme group that binds to oxygen. This is an example of a non-protein prosthetic group. Hemoglobin has an important role of transporting oxygen around the body. Okay, well, it's time for our final pit stop. So it's that time of the episode. It is the end of episode summary questions. So use your worksheet, a notepad, or a phone to write down your answers. So number one, what are the roles of fibrous and globular proteins? Number two, why is the primary structure of a protein so important? And then finally, number three, what is the name of the non-protein group found in hemoglobin? You know what to do? Pause the podcast, give yourself a chance to think of those answers and write them down, and we'll be back with the correct answers in. Okay, so you had to answer the following questions. So number one, what are the roles of fibrous and globular proteins? Well, fibrous proteins have a structural role, whereas globular proteins are involved in metabolic reactions. Number two, why is the primary structure of a protein so important? Well, the primary structure is what determines the 3D structure. And by determining the 3D structure and the shape, it also helps to determine the function of the protein. And then finally, number three, what is the name of the non-protein group found in hemoglobin? It is called the heme group. So if you got all of those questions correct, well done. If you didn't, guess what? Rewind, listen to the segments again, try and get your understanding where it needs to be, and then have a go at the questions again. Okay, well, it's time to move into the final closing segment. So there it is, a lovely, nice, brief summary of proteins. Remember to listen to these episodes as many times as possible to help you with your revision. Please, please be sure to follow me on my social platforms at Sese Says So on Instagram for daily biology updates, and subscribe to my podcast channel, which can be found on most streaming platforms. So join me again for the next episode, where I'll be reviewing the topic, investigating biological molecules. Why? Because Sese says so.